The last time we were discussing Daniel chapter 10, it was the same angel that started in Daniel chapter 10 that went all the way to chapter 12. Chapter 11 is where we're going today, but it's very long. So we're going to, I will more or less point to some key Bible verses after we just read through it. We'll read through it very quick. The longest chapter in the old chapter of Daniel. And we, like we said in the last discussion, the angel went to good detail of what will be happening from the time of Daniel, all clear to the end of the world, giving us some detail about the kings of the north, the kings of the south, and how the Messiah stepped in, at what point the Messiah stepped in and Messiah was cut off. We see that in that same chapter 11, as the angel began to point out that this is the time the Messiah was stepped in. And then it jumped at a particular point by that part, that is 5, it jumped from talking about the current events around the time of the Messiah, the Roman Empire, jumped to the end of the world. So I will point that one out when we get to that. Let's go through the chapter and just read through it so that Daniel chapter 11. So the angel Gabriel was talking from that chapter 10. Writing the last verse of chapter 10, he said, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince." And the angel continues, "Say, also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him." And he went on and said, "And now will I show thee the truth." And let's go on and see. I'm just going to read through it right now. He said, "Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, and the 4th shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great authority, and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the 4 winds of heaven. And not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north, to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arms, but she shall be given up. And they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces. And one shall certainly come, and overflow, and pass through. Then shall he return, and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved his shoulder, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given to his hand. And when he has taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years, with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall be many stand up against the king of the south, Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish division, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount, and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand. And neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be he for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face towards the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall, and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall walk deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with his small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for he shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both this king's hearts shall be to do mischief, and he shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward his house, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Arms shall stand on his path, and he shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and he shall place the abomination that make it desolate. And so shall do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be open with a little help, but many shall cling to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them right, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Verse 6. And the king shall do according to his will, and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the sheep of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away men. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet shall he come to his end, and none shall help him. Amen.
Amen.
Well, does that look like a long, detailed discussion on the angel? Now, like I said, the law was given in the earlier chapters, Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. Chapter 7 was more like a symbolic of the end time, or the world kingdom from Daniel's time, four beasts. Then chapter 8 repeated it under symbol, under some other beast. And chapter 9, he gave us the story of what will happen to Israel, and he gave 70 weeks telling us what will happen to the Jews. And in chapter 10, the angel came. From chapter 10 to chapter 12, the angel was talking. And now he actually gave detail here about this warfare that was going on. And if you look at all this warfare, it looked like, to even we that are looking at history, it's very difficult for us to understand the detail of who are these kings. But let's analyze it little by little. Remember, we are centered, the center of the world is Jerusalem in this story, in the mind of God. So think of Jerusalem in the Middle East as the center. So when you say the king of the north, north of Jerusalem, king of south, south of Jerusalem, east and west. So the south, Egypt is south. So when he's talking about king of the south, he's talking about Egypt and African countries. King of the north will be European countries. Syria is part of it, Rome is part of it, all over. Then the king of the east, you're talking of all the way from Babylon, all this Iraq, Iran, all the way to China. These are all east. So, but when the angel was, there may be no China in those days, but he's looking far to the end. So from that time, the angel is seen far to the end of the world. So when there will be a point where he say, the tidings from the east will come. Tidings means the opposed. So let's see, I'll put some Bible verses key quickly, and then we're going to discuss, because there are some sections, some Bible verses here that I'm not really going to point over to me. They also have some good meaning, but if we have to go through all of the Bible verses, some of them we will not be able to get to understand the detail. We may be supposed, we may assume that maybe it means the us or guess. But the one that I could point to in this, and I will let other point to other Bible verses that perhaps you can put insight in, because we are looking at history. In our time, most of these have taken place. As we are looking back at history, most of this in the chapter level has already taken place. But the last part of it is fissure to us our head. That is, he started from the time of Daniel, he fissure to Daniel, he didn't understand all these things. But during the time of the Messiah, some of this have transpired, the Roman empires, the wars, there are wars between Rome and Egypt. All through Syria, Rome, Egypt, they were the powers in those generations. And those are the ones he was detailing here for us, because those were important, because they were centered around the time Christ came. That's why he dealt more on those areas. They were centered around when Christ came, that was the power that were on. Then, at the end of the world, it looked like Egypt was practically nobody, but they are still there. And you have pointed back where he said the king of the south stayed longer than them. So that's why you see Egypt was still here. But the Roman Empire, you don't see him no more. But they scattered and called new names. So let's see from verse 2. The angel said, I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. So it started from the kingdom of Persia, which is when this was given. Because Cyrus was king of Persia when this vision was given. And you know, after Nebuchadnezzar was, which was Babylon, was king of the Medo-Persians. And Cyrus was the king that told the Jews that they can go and rebuild their temple. So it was in the third year of King Cyrus that this angel visited Daniel. That was in chapter 10, verse 1. And then he said, he was telling Daniel that Persia is not done yet. Because he, in the earlier version, in the earlier chapters, he has told us that after Babylon will be the Medo-Persians, after the Medo-Persians will be the Grecian Empire. After the Grecian Empire will be this great beast which we know now, the Roman Empire. And then he went on to the little horn, the ten horns and so on. So we know that there will be after Babylon will be the Medo-Persians. So at this time it was the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus was king. And he's saying, chapter 11, verse 2, he said, the Persian Empire is not done yet, there will still be three more kings. That's what he was telling Daniel. There shall still stand up three more kings in Persia. He said, the fourth one will be much richer. So that's how DJ was going. Now he went further, he now mentioned in verse 3 that the Grecian Empire, they will start their warfare against the Greeks. And a mighty king shall stand up. In verse 2, in the end of verse 2, he said, and by his strength, that is the king of Persia, the final king of Persia, he will, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. So the major power that became their threat was Greece in that generation. And that was when Alexander the Great rose up. And verse 3 was specifically talking about this Alexander the Great. He said, and a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. That is when Alexander, that is referring to the king of Grecia. Alexander the Great, we comparing this chapter with earlier chapters that we have read. So now he went further in verse 4 and he said, but his kingdom shall be divided. When he shall stand up, verse 4, his kingdom shall be broken. We have seen that in chapter 8 of Daniel, where he said the Grecian Empire has four horns, and one horn that became four horns when the little one was broken. Alexander the Great died after he just had something. And then his kingdom was split among his generals. So, and he went and he gave us more detail here in verse 4. He said it shall be broken and divided toward the four winds of heaven. And that's where all the generals took, some go north, east, west, and south, and took over and they split the kingdom of Alexander the Great into four. One of them went and ruled from Egypt, another one went and ruled from the from way back into Persia, another one came back. So they were, out of them came Rome. Rome just came out and started dominating even the rest of the three. So that he described in verse 4 that he, after he shall start up, when Alexander the Great has not started up, he shall be broken and his kingdom divided. And then in verse 6, he gave some known inkling and said, in the end of the years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north. Now that was in history. The king daughter of the south, there was a story of Cleopatra, that she was more like a queen of Egypt in that generation, that tried to marry one of the Caesars, you know, more like an allegiance kind of. And that was what the angel was prophesying thousands of years before this happened, or hundreds of years before it happened. That in they will be the daughter, in verse 6, in the end of the years they shall come and join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. So that was prophesied right there. And it was in that record, was the bare record of that Cleopatra tried to join with the Roman Caesar, so to speak. Now he went further in verse 8. And he shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods with their princes, with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. He just prophesied that Egypt will remain longer than all these other kingdoms. And that was fulfilled. You can see back in our time that where is the Roman Empire? We don't see them as Roman Empire anymore. But Egypt remained the name. They are still the same Egypt. And where is the Grecian Empire? We don't see Grecian Empire. We see Greece. He said, these people, this king of the south, which is Egypt, will remain longer. That's why he was prophesying it for us to see. So he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Then he went further in verse 16. Then he talked about the war that was going on between the south and the north. And that went on in history. If anybody wants to, you need to get the book of Josephus. He detailed a little bit of all the wars that were going on during that time, because all around past Palestine, well, Egypt, Syria, and Rome, they were all making alliances and fighting and taking captives. So, and then he went in verse 16, like I said. He said, but he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land. Now, any time he mentioned the glorious land, he's talking about Palestine, Jerusalem, Israel. Now he said, he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. Now he's talking about which king name? From verse 15, he says, the king of the north. So he's prophesying that it's the king of the north, which we know to be Roman Empire by that time, is the one through by his hand, the Palestine will be consuming, the Israelites, the Jerusalem will be destroyed by the hand of the Roman Empire. So that was prophesied right there. So I'm just pointing to those key verses that we can see that the angel was prophesying things that will happen hundreds of years before it happened. In verse 20, continuing with the kingdoms of the kingdoms of the north, he mentioned that now he is actually referring to different Caesars that are coming and going. And in verse 20, there he said, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. Now, we can look back at that and say, well, the first time ever that we knew about taxation was when the Lord Jesus Christ was about to be born. Remember that story? They said there was a Caesar, or also Caesar said they should tax the whole world. At least on record, that seems to be the first time that it was broadcast that there will be taxation. And the Indian prophet said there will be a raiser of taxes from the Roman Empire. And it was in that direction the Messiah was born. That's why the angel went to detail. He'll say, well, if you are just telling us the general thing, you don't need to tell us about that. But you see, he needs to tell us about that because it's going to be a key for us to know that. That was recorded in the book of Luke, that Augustus said everyone in the world should be taxed. And that was why Joseph and Mary went back to Bethlehem to be taxed, or to be recorded. And the angel has prophesied it 100 years or 400 years before it happened, that the raiser of taxes will rise up in the kingdom of the north. Verse 20 then. But he went for that, within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. So the Caesars are coming and going, and the angel was more or less pointing to it because another Caesar will be around when Christ will be ministering. That's why he was giving us that duty. When Christ was born, there was one Caesar. When Christ was ministering, another Caesar. You know, the one is dead, another one take over. And he gave us some detail of how they were overthrowing one another there, even in Rome. Now let me point to another Bible verse here. Verse 22 is where he mentioned the Messiah. And he said, and with the arms of a flood, that is this Caesar that came after the raiser of taxes also, with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him. That is, he said he shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. That is, they won't give it to him, but he kind of take it over to become the next Caesar. And you obtain the kingdom by flatteries, by verse 22, so I'm going, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him. I don't know the detail of what happened in Rome for that one, but the angel will give us this clue. And that he is leading us to something here. He said, and they shall be broken before him, yea, also the prince of the covenant. So this is pointing to the fact that the prince of the covenant is the Messiah. Remember that. When he mentioned the prince of the covenant, he's talking about the Messiah. Simply points to us that this regime in Rome, it will be in his regime that the prince of the covenant will be crucified. So that's why he said, with the arms of the flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. We know it's not the emperor that killed the Messiah, but it was in his regime that he was crucified. it was more like a pointer. Verse 31 is what I'm going to point again to us. When he went to verse 31, he talked about an arm shall stand on his part. Now you have to remember, these are different Caesars. I've come and gone all this time. When it came to verse 31, he was talking about the sanctuary of strength shall be taken, and his daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and they shall place their abomination and make it desolate. Now this could have dual meaning, in fact could have triple meaning, the abomination of desolation that was prophesied, because the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned it when he was prophesying about the end of the world. He said, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand where it was not to be, then let them that are in Judea flee. So Christ was actually prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem that will happen, because when the Romans begin to pull their placards and they want to put the image of Caesar on the temple, the Jews revolted. That was the beginning of it. And there have been another story before that some other people have tried to, other kings have tried to desecrate their temple, that started some revolution. But this one, he said, it shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that make it desolate. In short, it make it desolate means that was the beginning of the battle, because the Jews revolted against Rome, and then this army came to surround Jerusalem. And Christ has prophesied, when you see that, run, because that's the day the war that's going to destroy Jerusalem. And that was prophesied here by the angel that it will happen. Now, I say go up to a minute because people assume that could also occur in the end. But this, I strongly believe, is talking about that 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. Now, in verse 33, the angel continued. And he said, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Now, and yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now remember, he said many days, and remember in the prophecies of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, we have interpreted a day to symbolize a year when he talk about 70 weeks. So he is actually, you can see many years in that interpretation. Now this part 33 is very important, and this they shall fall by sword and by flame and by captivity. And he said, who are they that are falling? They that understand. Those are the believers. The believers. Because the angel was prophesying right there that there will be serious persecution. And that happened from the time of the apostles by the Roman Empire. Different Caesars came and make edicts that make them to begin to arrest the Christians. And that is what the angel was prophesying there, that many that understand shall, they will be instructing many, because there was preaching, there was conversion, but yet, so they shall fall by the sword, persecution, and by flame. Many were burned in Rome arena during the first few centuries. And by captivity and by spoil, many days, many years. That went on for many years. Angel was a prophesied about that. And let's go again, verse 35 up to 35. Said, now when they shall fall, they shall be opened with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. That also was fulfilled, because another emperor came and tried to lessen the persecution. It was in the history that another emperor came and tried to lessen the persecution and change the edict. And after that, another one came and turned it around. And you know, all these emperors turned around because of their own politics. So that was in history that it happened like that. Said they got a little help, but in the end, it went on with persecution. Verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end. Now this, verse 35, is not only talking about the first century persecution. It's talking throughout till the end, there will be persecution of the true believers. It continued after the Roman Empire faded away and the papacy took over, and that persecution went over Europe, where they are persecuting the true Christians. Anything that is against the Roman Catholic Church, they will be persecuted, and make them flee into this part of the world, the Western world. So that is part of what has been prophesied there, that they shall be. He said, but it's for trying to purge them and to make them white. That is, the Lord will still allow persecution to prove the true believers. That's why I say it's for purging and it's for trying them and to make them white, holy, even to the time of the end. That is not finished yet until the time of the end. That persecution, purging, trials that God will do for his saints, even at the end, which is going on even right now, is prophesied, is long into this verse 35, to make us white and purified till the end. Now in verse 36, now you can draw a line after that, verse 35. From verse 36, the angel actually, from that, you know, from my understanding, is jumping out to the end of the world. Verse 36 said, and the king, now look at that, said, and the king, you say, which king is he talking about here? Because he stopped talking about the king of the Lord, the king of the south, for the past few verses, when he's talking about the same being persecuted. Now he said, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Now, this king that he mentioned here, he has not clarified whether he is the king of the north, or the king of the south, or the king in Jerusalem. He has just said the king. But let's go on and see. He said, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Now, when Bible scholars begin to look at that, he is talking about the God of his fathers. Well, he must be talking about the king in Jerusalem. Well, remember, the Jews have been scattered from, you can say, from the time he said the abomination that began in Israel, verse 31, we assume the Jews have been scattered, they are no more in Jerusalem. Until he said, but there will be persecution for those that understand and instruct many. But verse 36, he jumps to the time of the end right now. He said, the king shall do according to his will. So, if he says, this king neither shall regard the God of his fathers, nor desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. It looks like he's talking about the king that will be at the center in Jerusalem or what. But let's go on, because we may become clear. But in verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Now we can look at our time and say the world in our generation right now, Jerusalem and Israel has become a nation, and they are trying to survive, and they have to invest in a lot of military. Maybe Israel is not there for military power, even though they are small in size, but they command some respect because of their military power that they get some from the US. Now, that saying that this king does not regard the God of his fathers, we know that he must be talking about the God of Israel, because that's the fathers I'm talking about. Now, they are investing in armament to protect themselves, and not in supernatural power like David trusted him. So that's why he's saying he does not regard the God of his fathers. He also said he will honor the God of forces, that is military force, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver. We know, the world know that Israel has nuclear weapon. That's investment. So that's what he's talking about then. Gold and silver, it takes a lot of money to invest in this thing, but they are not investing in the God of their fathers. So that is why the angel was pointing. But so then this king is talking about, he's really talking about in this time when the nation of Israel has come back, but this is how their life or their trust will be in military weapons to protect themselves. Of course, we still have the Jew, the religious Jews there, but they are not in power, neither do they have the know-how to be able to trust God like David did. So God is looking at their leader and saying he's depending on the God of forces. Think of what is going on right now. They are afraid of Iran may have nuclear weapon. You think God is afraid of nuclear weapon? No. Even that nuclear weapon, God wants to turn whatever the material they are making weapon to turn into pure stone, destroy it into the air, it doesn't blow. Just like that, God can do that. So basically, human beings, we have to invest in all of those things to protect us. But God is not worried about that. If they have the power that David had, the supernatural, they won't need to depend on nuclear weapons. That's why the angel is saying he is not regarding the God of his fathers. Now let's see another Bible verse that I want to point out. He said strange God. That's why I pointed to the nuclear weapon. It's a strange God. Now in verse 40, at the time of the end, he said the king of the south shall push at him. We all know there's always some skibbages going on between the Palestinians, the Arabs, and so on. But he said at the time of the end, the king of the south, which is Egypt and the south, shall push at him. So we assume that then he's talking about this king, he's talking about that he is the king of the center, the king in Israel. He said, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horses and with many ships, and shall enter into the countries. Now, that about 40, some scholars have thought he's talking about Russia is the king of the north. I still don't think so in that king of the north. He's still talking about the European. I'll point out some verses, it's the European, which is the Roman Empire, is the king of the north in the days of the Christ. But the Roman Empire split into European empires now, the European world. And watch for NATO. What is NATO? That is the organization that cover all the Western countries all through in Europe. Okay, so they are represented as the Roman Empire right now, so to speak. If we are looking at Rome that broke into pieces. Now, he's mentioning here, he said that the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horses and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, believing the king of the north, and shall overflow and pass over. And verse 41, then he says, some countries will escape out of his hand, but he shall stretch forth his hand against Egypt and so on. All of these Bible verses can play out in many forms. This is our time. This is the time of the end that some of these things will take place. Now he's talking about the world leader in verse 41. That say he shall enter into the glorious land and many countries shall be overthrown. Whoever is that world leader, it could be the power that is being right now, the NATO. Think of what happened recently. Who went and bombed Libya? NATO. Is when he did it like trick NATO. That's the Northern Kingdom. You can look at it that way. And he mentioned Libya here. And that's what I wanted to point out to us for the that. Just we have to keep our eyes open for what is going on in the world right now, because sometimes we may be thinking this is how it might be, but it's playing out in different forms, and we have to be just open keep our eyes open to see what is going on in the world right now. Ethiopia, you mentioned Ethiopia here and Libya. And Ethiopia in verse 43, Yemen is actually part of Ethiopia in this generation. Because Yemen and Ethiopia, they were part and parcel in the days of Messiah, that is the same Ethiopia. But now it's called to Ethiopia and then Yemen. So, but you mentioned Libya. We know what happened to Libya, this what they call Arab Springs, all this revolution. It started in Tunisia, now Libya, Egypt, Ethiopia, Yemen is going on. It's going on in Yemen, it's part of it. So when you mention Libya and Ethiopians will be at the steps, the first thing, NATO, they have done something, and Libya is no more under the Arab, and Yemen is still making their crack over there. Who knows what will happen next? And then Syria. So we just want to keep our eyes open to see what all these events, how they will play out. But that is some of the points that we can begin to observe as we see the world from, because this is our own generation is prophecy to us. So that's why we cannot be dogmatic and say, oh, I know this is how it's going to happen. The one we know, we can say, oh, yeah, we have seen this by history, but this one is coming. We can only guess. Amen. Amen. Yeah, my sister asked some questions. We are going to begin to ask questions now.
All right. I was watching the news and I heard about an author, an incident in which Russia, America was wanted to try some missiles, and Russia's president said, if America does that, they are going to fire back at America. So, and I was just remember what, I mean, this verse reminds me of that, of, you know, what they said in the news concerning, and Obama said he's not going to back down, that he's going to do it anyway. So I don't know how far they'll go with that. So I don't know if anybody else had it in the news. Russia, America said they're going to try some missiles. And then Russia said, if they do, they're going to.
Is that recently?
Yes, recently. Not quite 2 weeks.
Anybody heard about that?
I didn't hear about that, or maybe part of the Syrian, Iran things. I know that there's a problem with Iran where nobody wants to go and bomb Iran, but Israel is ready, only they are not. You don't want to go and do something that we cause them trouble. So that is a good point that the world is rocking. The world is rocking in our generation. It's rocking, it's kind of shaking. And we have to just keep our eyes open and see how these things are going to play out. But the angel has prophesied some of these things, and he just jumped to the time of the end. He can only give us summary. For everything we see in few verses here is summarizing what is going, playing to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. And it's not finished yet, because he went further when he said they now come against the center, which we believe the king of the center, which is the king in Israel, at this time of the end is the one that says he does not regard the God of his fathers, and is the one that is investing in God of forces, nuclear weapon. So we know Royal Israel has nuclear weapon, and they are the one. They are not. They are secular as far as their government is concerned, but there are some element of religious Israel there too. But they don't trust in the God of their fathers. So the angel has already prophesied that. Then he said, at the time of the end, there have been wars and little wars, but say at the time of the end there will be a major cataclysm where Egypt will come against them, Egypt and the Arabs, really. Because Saudi Arabia, they are all south of Israel, not if you look at the map. Egypt and all the Arabs, and then say the north. So somehow there will be something that will occur where they will say Israel didn't do. Remember what we saw recently? Who would have thought? It was in the news. Maybe all, many of you guys that watched, that the president of France, the president of France, and then the president of the U.S., Obama, they were talking. Just last week or 2 weeks ago, after they had this big meeting, they were talking. They didn't know that the microphone was on, and they were talking. You would have said, these are the allies of Israel, and they said the president of France said, this guy Netanyahu was the president of Israel. He's a liar. I just can't stand him. And the Obama said, well, you already get full of him. I have to deal with him every day. So in short, they were just exposing the fact that even though they were supporting Israel, they are not wholeheartedly supporting Israel. And see what God is saying. At the time of the end, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Say, oh, that cannot happen. US will never be part of that. Well, God said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That means United Nations. Even look at what it says here. The king of the north will come against them. I said, well, wish not. So everybody thinks, oh, Russia is the only enemy of Israel. So many of the Bible scholars on the radio will say, Russia is coming down to Israel. It may not be Russia, it may be NATO. I'm just pointing that one out. It may not be Russia, it may be NATO. Because the Russia part is still here. We go for that in the next verse, verse 44. That's where Russia also will come in, because it's NATO that's doing all this policing the world. That's what God is prophesying. It's NATO that went to Libya, and Russia just went to the United Nations and didn't participate. But they said, well, don't go and do that to Iran, because they have some investment in Iran. So that's why they are vocally talking about, don't go and mess up with Iran. You know, they are vocal. About Libya, they are not as vocal. They just let NATO do whatever they wanted to do. But they didn't send any money or any help. The US sent money, sent weapons, but NATO did this. So they are the king of the north, watch out. That's what I'm saying, well, let us watch out for that. Now, Syria is also having a problem. Maybe they will try to do something about Syria. But Russia may also not, but they don't, because they have invested so much in Iran, they have money in Iran, they are vocal about anything going against Iran. And but this is what the Bible says in verse 44, when this thing will begin to take place, we are maybe NATO, whoever you think of, you know, to come against Palestine, and Arabs come against them also for whatever reason that Israel has done. And he said, but tidings out of the east, that's way all the way to China, and out of the north, Russia, shall trouble him, which means this king of the north that is wielding his power against everybody, which I believe is pointing to Little, we need to come against the center another time, and then the Russian will say, no, wait a minute, you are going too far. And the Chinese also will do something like that, which is what is happening right now. Even if they try to do the same thing to Iran, China is supporting Iran, Russia is supporting Iran, because they are the one that are sponsoring all these nuclear things they were doing already. So that is why we say, well, let's keep our eyes open and see that some of these Bible verses that the angel has pointed out, prophesying about the end, they are forming in our time. We may not know whether it's not Russia or NATO, but we can see them playing the same game. So let's get our eyes open. So Russia and China will be disagreeing with whatever is going on between NATO and the Middle East, at this, according to this prophecy of verse 44. And then he said, then if you go to wipe out men, that is where it's going to be like a world war. Because he utterly to make away many. Because when they come against him, they didn't back out. That's what it means. He's not going to back out. So then there's going to be a clash. And look at Zechariah chapter 14 before I turn to come in and give some more insight. Zechariah chapter 14 is where the Lord prophesied that I just quoted about this time of the end. But God said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to Babylon. Chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord coming, and his spoil shall be divided in the vessel. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the idols' houses shall be filled, and the women shall be filled, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Verse 3 says, and then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. So this will fulfill itself. And it's very clear how, comparing that with what the angel said in chapter Daniel chapter 11, that last few verses, they are linked together. And that is where the world goes. And it's, we can begin to see that it seems to be in our time, because we have seen all these things forming, shipping. The nuclear weapons are shipping. They never wish there would be any war right now, because there are so many nuclear weapons. Almost all the big countries have nuclear weapons, and if there's world war, they ended up to use it, and they know it's going to be a serious trouble when they use those nuclear weapons worldwide. So that is where the Bible has already prophesied they were going. We don't know whether it's going to be sooner or later, but it's coming to happen. And if I might add this, I remember one vision the Lord showed and said, watch giant Japan. It looked like Japan. When God said it in the vision, I didn't understand. I thought Japan. They have been quiet for some time. But this is a prophecy from the Lord through me. It's not in this scripture. The Lord said, yes, there will be a third world war, and Japan will cause it. He said, before that, the Lord said he will bring forth a mighty revival to save a lot of people. So we should expect a mighty revival, which we call mighty revival, before that third world war. And by saying that Japan will cause it, after I woke up now, I said, Japan, Japan. Then I told Abraham, I said, well, you should think about this. Look at the war that happened between US and Iraq. Who caused that war? That leads to country called what? That Iraq attacked.
Kuwait.
Suppose God has told you Kuwait will cause the war. You say Kuwait. Yes, who knows Kuwait? But see, because of Kuwait, US went and started fighting Iraq. So when God said Japan will cause it, you don't assume that Japan is going to begin to bomb everybody. It's just they cause it. Amen. So let's be smart when we hear from the Lord. So that's why when we are looking at prophecy, sometimes the Lord will put some words there that will blow a lot of people up the water, because they were thinking in another direction. But God is telling you, this is what is causing this, not what everybody is looking at. So, and I got that wisdom. Yeah, we cause that. When God said Japan will cause that whole world war, you can imagine how many ways they can cause it. Now let's have opening for questions so that many other brethren can comment on some issues. Some other Bible verses I even talk about there that didn't get pointed out that can be interesting. Any comment or question from that chapter or from the other things about this end of the world that we have been discussing? On the news, internet, on the call, on the telephone, anybody there that is listening, you want to ask a question? Any question?
I'd like to make a comment about something in passing, not necessarily the prophecy, but you know, something that is impressive. The way that the two things that is impressive in this chapter 11. Impressive to me, besides the meaning of all of these things, you know, the way that the angel narrated this whole thing, and even the way that, I mean, Daniel recorded all of these things. So I was trying to picture, I mean, how do you give such a long, detailed revelation? And how do you record all that stuff? I mean, how long did it take? There's a reason why, there's something I want to bring out from it, but there's a reason why I'm asking. I mean, let's reflect on that for a minute. I mean, so the angel is standing here, he's telling him all these things. I mean, you know, I don't know how long it took him to tell, I mean, he took Pastor Julius about 10 minutes to read that chapter, but I can guarantee you, probably took him a whole lot longer to narrate that story.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know how long it actually took. But how long did it take Daniel to compose all the things and put it together? And I mean, how do you remember all that? You know, put it just like he said it. And it's kind of like the prophecy repeating itself again. You know, remember one time Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream, which you couldn't even figure out, or sometimes forget. And Daniel had to interpret the dream, but first, he had to see the dream again, all over, before he could interpret it. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, you can, most of the time, you can tell somebody your dream, and then they can interpret it. But for me to tell you, to tell me my dream, that's amazing. That's pretty amazing, you know. And it's like Daniel dreamed the whole thing over and became almost like Daniel's vision all over again, even though it was even to somebody, you know. And I was imagining the same thing here. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I mean, maybe the man, Gabriel, narrated the whole thing to him and so forth. And then, I don't know if Daniel had a scroll there at that time. I was writing the whole thing as he was saying. He was probably engrossed with all the things he was being shown.
Yeah.
And he probably had to relive that vision over and over again for him to be able to write all these things out. And it's pretty amazing, the not one. Here are the things that are amazing to me. The knowledge, the detail that the angel had, you know. Of course, we know the angel was speaking, you know, from the Lord, but the detail that he had, I mean, it's kind of like you're looking at something playing in front of you and you're just describing it. I mean, because it's just, the thing is so smooth the way he's describing it. That's pretty amazing, you know. Secondly, the fact that Daniel himself could figure out how to capture all of that and put it down is pretty amazing, you know. But what does all of that mean to us? You know, what it mean, what I'm trying to bring out of that is this. I mean, we've seen God do these things, speak through angels, speak through prophets and all of these things in the past and so on. Can God do these things again? I mean, can God reveal things? I mean, can he speak to us? Can we see things? I mean, can you even have dreams of somebody else's vision? You know, because Daniel had a vision of somebody else's dream. Now for him to figure it out, You know, I mean, can you have a dream or a vision of these events that are already in the Bible? I mean, remember what Judas was saying, that God revealed something to him, you know. So basically what I'm saying is this: let us not count God out in revealing things to us, even in our own time. It doesn't mean that, you know, after Daniel spoke, that's the end of it, and after John spoke on the Isle of Patmos, that's the end of it. God can still bring dreams and visions all over again of the same thing that he has already spoken. Maybe give a little more insight, you know, maybe give a little more revelation, and he can do it to anybody, I mean, or through anybody, to give us greater understanding. So let's, you know, let's be thinking about that. I mean, when God wants to make known certain things, he can pick any vessels that he wants. And we've seen that through history. You can pick anybody, not even, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know the Lord when he gave her the first dream. Yeah. And so on. So, I mean, that's just a commentary that I want to bring. It's not necessarily about the event itself, but just the significance of how God reveals things and the accuracy to which God can reveal things. And I also want to point, one last thing I want to point out, the difference between Bible prophecy and predictions. What we see in the Bible, we don't see any of these angels or prophets in the Bible making predictions. We see them telling it the way it is. I mean, God tells them and they tell it, and it's accurate. I mean, maybe at the time the people who were being told didn't understand, but those of us who have the benefit of history, now we can see the accuracy of, you know, many of these things. We don't see predictions there. We don't see guesswork of dates up and down and so on. You know, what we see is the accuracy of what God is saying. And I want to point that out to us as we look at end time prophecies. And there are many, we've talked before about different kinds of prophecies that are time-based, and some prophecies that are event-based, and some that are combination of both. There may be some prophecies that are event-based. For instance, when you say something like, "And when you shall see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place," well, you can look at that as time, but it's more event, because when something happens, then these other things will happen. But we don't know exactly when that first trigger, which we call Bible prophecy trigger, when that trigger happens, then so many other things happen. You know, but sometimes the error that we make at the end of the days, as we are now, is to try to put a time to things that God did not put time, when he just put the event. And if he puts the event out, like the coming of the Lord, for instance, you know, certain things and so forth, you know, a lot of people down through the ages have been making guesswork onto that. But we were never given time, but we were given events that we can see. Whatever time it is, but when we see certain events, then we can begin to see the order of things happening. You know, so the point of all of this Bible study that we are doing, I want to continue to remind us, is not so much just the academic knowledge that we know these things, but the significance of the fact that God can pinpoint the future and tell us these things with accuracy. And if God can do all of that, you know, to the massive detail that he does, how much less he knows things in our lives? I mean, he knows everything about us. You know, so let us absolutely trust the Lord with our lives, and let us also be preparing ourselves for the events that are slated to happen at our own end of time, the major one of which is the coming of the Lord. But prior to that, as Pastor Julius said, there has to be a reviving again of the church to get us ready. Because he's coming for a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
You know, so there has got to be a revival.
Amen.
I mean, it's like something unique and extraordinary has to happen to get the people of God ready. You know, and you know, it is, I personally believe it is happening already, and that's why we got to keep our eyes open and keep our minds on the Lord and not be distracted by the things that we are faced with day to day. Because as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall he also be in the days of the Son of Man is revealed. For they were continuing to go to school, whatever they were doing, the craft, marrying, giving in marriage, and all of these things. You know, people are just consumed with all these things. You know, and these events, you know, were just happening and so forth, you know. And then, boom, you know, the Lord. You know. So, when we are consumed with a lot of happenings, the Lord might just come in the middle of that time. So let us be prepared. I mean, can you imagine some major event happening in the world that everybody is consumed with? Maybe the Lord will just come in the middle of that and so many people just, you know. I mean, there are some major events that happen in the world sometimes that everybody is consumed with. Not necessarily politics, can even be something entertainment, right? You know, like, you know, Olympics or something. The whole world is consumed with that, you know. And there could be things in our own individual lives too that just consume us completely, that we forget. So we are reminded to, you know, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all the evil that is coming upon the land and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord.
Any question? Question? Comments? Any other question?
Just a little comment about the dream aspect. I know way back, maybe about 3, 4, 5 years, I took the kids to the apostle for a practice. So when I got there, he told me, he's like, "Prince, come here, come here. I had this dream. I'm not even sure if this guy had a Bible." So he narrated the dream he had. He said, "You know, I don't understand what it means, but I saw that there was a commotion, there was trouble going on in the world. Just so much. But at the same time, I look and there was like a revival, something beautiful going on." So he said because of that, what was going on in the war, many people were not aware of what was going on the other side, the beautiful part of it, and it happened so far, so quick. So I was telling him, I'm like, that's exactly what the Bible said, about the revival. There's going to be a revival, and there's going to be a rapture. So I'm telling that revival that is going on, the world will be going through a lot of things. I'm not too many people in the this.
Please, I have another question. One of the good things I was looking at the Bible was where the Lord said through Isaiah the prophet concerning why the Lord gave all prophecies, like our pastor just was saying. It's a sign that he is God. He said, "I declare the end from the beginning." That's one of the signs that he said, "Your idols couldn't do that." He told the men of the world that, "Call one of your idols and see whether they can tell you." Even in chapter 48, there's a Bible verse in Isaiah chapter 48 where he said, "I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Lest thou should say, oh, my idol said it about it." So God was using that as something like to to declare himself, this is how you know I am God, because he declared the end from the beginning. And that angel in Daniel chapter 10, the angel also makes us to see that he undoes these things on this planet for the Almighty God.
Amen.
Nobody else knows more about this, because what he is telling you is that is the truth. And that shows that they are the ones that do and undo these things for the Almighty God. When the commandment go forth, they make it happen. So that is a sign of God Almighty saying he declared the end from the beginning. And that is how he declared himself to be God. And in many Bible verses in the book of Isaiah, he used that particular phrase to tell the Jews that he is God. He said that from the beginning, I said it before it happened. That's why he could prophesy 400 years before, even 1,000 years. He told Abraham, he said, but your seed will go into a land that does not belong to them. They will be afflicted 400 years. He said, but I will bring them back and the fourth generation. And it happened just like he said, because he is God. He is one that doeth these things.
Hallelujah.
And that is, like our brother said, to make us to just rest our life in his hand. And trust in him that he knows about everything from the beginning to the end, and we have said he is the author and is the finisher of our faith. We all see Jesus, we are going to the rapture, just commit your will to his hand. He is the beginning. Anybody that's going to go in the rapture is the one that's going to make it happen.
Amen.
He said he is the resurrection and the life.
Hallelujah.
Anybody going to resurrect from the grave is him that's going to make them resurrect. Anybody going to live after the resurrection forever? It's him that's going to make them live forever. So he is the resurrection and the life. And anyone is going to live and never die and go away in the rapture, it's him that's going to make them live and never die. So we know who he has all these things. We know who has the power to do and undo. So let's commit our life to his hand, trust in him.
Amen.
And rest assured that he loves us also. Amen.
Amen.
And any other comment, any other question? Because that seems to be how far we're going to go. Chapter 12 is very brief, but it says a little bit that we will discuss that next week by God's grace. So we won't go into chapter 12, but if there's no other question, we will just like to just wrap it up right now. Any other comment or question? Or if you have any vision, like our sister just gave a vision, if you have any dream or vision, and that's one thing I wanted to point out, like Brian was saying, the Lord can reveal to you, but there is a prerequisite. We have to make ourselves available.
Hallelujah.
You have to make yourself available for him to reveal to you. If you pray and ask him, look at an example of Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible said all he did was to meditate on his bed, what will happen after him. And he that searched the hearts revealed to him what will happen after him. So which means even we believers, if we meditate on things of God, what will happen, what Lord, what are you going to do? The Lord can reveal, using that to reveal to you. Because he searches the hearts and the minds. So that is part of meditating. You meditate on him, think about what he's coming to do, how the church is going to be. If you meditate on those things, you will see him minister to you. That is another way to ask him to give you some revelation. Of course, you also have to make it, you don't crowd your mind with business. If you are too overcharged with business, you work till 2 a.m. on your mathematics or your business, and you sleep, you think it's going to get, you're going to be dreaming of mathematics. I've experienced that, or your business. But if you put that off as early as 10 p.m. and just meditate on the things of God, or you know, things of life, and just talk to him about that, you may get the Lord's visitation. Because the Bible said that a dream comes through multitude of business. When there are too much of business, dream will come. And that is not the dream you want. You want the one that God is a spiritual dream that will reveal something.
Yes.
Amen. So that is all that we can share with one another. That here, if you make ourselves available, God wants to reveal these things to us so that we go wiser and guard ourselves. I want others so that we can warn other people. Amen.
Just watch yourself, verse 17 of verse 11. About in the Bible, Daniel, verse 32, in the Bible, in the Bible, let's see how that The second part of verse 32 just puts that there. Among all this chaos, he says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. He just drops it in there, which confirms, you know, basically the dreams is relating what Pastor was saying. I'd like us to do one thing. I had a revelation which I had intended that would be all I was going to call about. I had a revelation concerning Nigeria. I saw 11 foreigners. They were not Nigerians. Their whole intent was to cause massive chaos in Nigeria. And it happened that I went there and I tried to get a hold of the police commissioner in that scenario, but he was so caught up in corruption and stuff, and everybody went to sleep. But somehow, miraculously, there were some people who looks like the situation was averted because some people outside of that scenario were praying. But there were 11 foreigners, there were 11, they were having a conversation, and it looks like I just eavesdropped on their conversation, what they were going to do, and I was trying to wake this police commissioner up, say, look, this is the plan of this year. And they were just, so I said, I'll bring it up the next time we all get together so that we can pray, because we all have, I woke up from that revelation, and I was praying, and we all have loved ones that God will help us to help that nation to stay strong.
Yeah, let's pray right now before we forget about that. Let's just pray for that country. Ethnic violence or religious violence in the north, and many other things could be planned. Let's just pray. Everybody lift up your voice for the people of Nigeria. Father, we know, Lord Jesus, you don't reveal those things for nothing, Lord. You reveal them so that your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. And then you will hear from heaven, you will answer our prayer, you will heal our land. We pray for Nigeria, for our people in Nigeria, Lord Jesus Christ, the brethren, especially, that you wake them up, Lord Jesus, and that your name will longer be glorified, Lord. Deliverance be wrought in that country, Lord Jesus Christ. Deliverance be wrought for our country, Lord Jesus Christ. All those wicked plans of the devil, Father, we pray, Lord, that you turn us around and thwart all the efforts of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. All those forces that are planning violence, that are planning wickedness, that are planning evil in that country, Lord, let those forces be arrested and taken away and casted back into the pit of hell in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for mercy for Nigeria, Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy for that country, Lord Jesus Christ.
Even those who are
corruption and all this that is going on in that country, we pray, Lord God, that you will overthrow you right now, Lord Jesus Christ, and let the people that you want to
share God properly
in the name of the Lord
Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Have mercy and help our land, help our land, because there are many elect, many brethren and all our people there. Have mercy upon our land in the name of the Lord Jesus. O Lord of Shiva, Karama Santa, have mercy, O God, on the nation. Kariba Sunda Kira Kutarika Shira Bakaria. Have mercy, O God.
So, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, for that vision that you showed to our brother. We just commit Nigeria to your hand, Lord. You are the one that is able to turn things around, Lord. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord wash over the city, the watchmen are wicked, but in vain, say the word. Father God, we ask you, Lord God, for your mercy to wash over that country, Lord Jesus Christ, and turn things around so that corruption will be turned around in that country. It's our first prayer, Lord Jesus. And all those evil plans of the devil, whatever the plan of the enemy to make violence, to do wickedness, to cause evil, to cause division, or to cause chaos,
or to cause violence that we pronounced is already going on. We pray, O Lord God, right now that all those evil plans of the devil be thwarted. And the devils and the satanic forces that are planning it be bound and be cast back into the pit of hell where they come from. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we commit the whole country to thy hand, Lord Jesus Christ. All those foreign elements that are coming through the Arab land trying to create violence in Nigeria. Because we know, we read in the news that even during the time of those acquired, that man also pointed that Nigeria is one of the countries they wanted to overthrow. All those acquired plans trying to make Nigeria a Muslim Islamic country, let it be thwarted and cancelled. It shall not prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we are the sons of the Most High God, and we are the prince of the land. God has given us the authority. Whatsoever we shall bound on earth is bound in the heaven. Whatsoever we shall loose on earth is loose in the heaven. So all those foreign elements, all those forces of Islam, we command them bound in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ and cast them back to the pit of hell. All those forces of Islam, all those foreign elements, whether internally or they are coming from externally, we command all of them, spirits of infirmity, all spirits of Islam, be bound in Nigeria and cast them out of that country to the people in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that country belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. That country belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let your name, O Lord, be glorified. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, Lord, I commit a generation. There's a generation that has not known honest, that has not known the truth, that all they have lived with is lies and corruption. Father, in the name of Jesus, what a miracle for this young generation that have not known the God of their fathers, that have not known how to live righteous lives. Father, Lord, turn their hearts around miraculously in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Turn their hearts around of the leadership in that country around. And Lord, that before you come, that you walk a walk in that nation, that we can look back and say, wow, this is the finger of the Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There has been so much, Lord, that has happened. Every time we hear, it's bad news and the bad news and the bad news. Father, Lord, give us a respite concerning that nation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we trust in you.
Amen.
We don't know who else to turn to but you, Lord, concerning that nation. Lord, work a miracle in Jesus' name. We come against the prince over that nation of chaos, disarmament, whatever name and they are called by, in the name of Jesus, let their plans be thwarted in Jesus' name. We thank you. We exalt you because we are seated with you in heavenly places. And you said, Lord, if we shall bind anything on earth, so we do it for us in heaven. We thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We are standing in the gap for that nation at this time. Thank you, Father, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can think or imagine to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.